Diving into the biochemistry of modern feed formulations, we see we aren't just pouring fuel into a tank. We're actually, continuously typing code into a highly sensitive transgenerational genetic switchboard. Missing one microscopic amino acid doesn't just stall the machine today. It alters the biological software of offspring that haven't even been conceived yet.
A whole new era of communication in the global aquaculture industry is coming. Now you have the brightest minds in aquaculture right in your pocket. And what's best, you can listen to all of them while driving to a farm, traveling, or running errands. It's never been this good, and it's never been this simple. Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production. Inspired by the 2023 article titled, "Methionine, an Indispensable Amino Acid in Cellular Metabolism and Health of Atlantic Salmon" by Espy Marit et al.
We often treat biological systems in commercial production just like straightforward combustion engines. You input the baseline calories and crude protein, and the output is just supposed to be this linear, predictable growth.
Right. It's the classic input-output paradigm. Food is just viewed as the fuel that runs the machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But diving into the biochemistry of modern feed formulations, we see we aren't just pouring fuel into a tank. We're actually, continuously typing code into a highly sensitive transgenerational genetic switchboard. Missing one microscopic amino acid doesn't just stall the machine today. It alters the biological software of offspring that haven't even been conceived yet.
Yeah, and the 2023 review article by Marit Espy and her colleagues titled "Methionine, an Indispensable Amino Acid in Cellular Metabolism and Health of Atlantic Salmon" completely dismantles that old paradigm.
It really does.
It's a profound look at unintended metabolic consequences. As the aquaculture industry has shifted how farmed Atlantic salmon are fed, we've inadvertently placed this staggering biochemical load on a single nutrient. Methionine is now dictating everything from hepatic lipid export to locus-specific DNA methylation.
Which is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We're looking at how substituting marine ingredients with plant-based feeds, which is obviously great for scaling production, has removed vital metabolic buffers. It forces the salmon's endogenous synthesis pathways to work massive amounts of overtime.
And that shift creates an immense bottleneck on methionine. To understand why this one amino acid is suddenly the limiting factor, we really have to look at the macroeconomic dietary shift.
WiseNetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access WiseNetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
Right, so historically, Atlantic salmon diets relied heavily on pelagic fish meal and krill, which perfectly mirrored what a carnivorous teleost would consume in the wild.
Exactly. But to sustainably scale global production, the industry pivoted massively toward plant-based proteins, mostly utilizing soy protein concentrate,
which provides the necessary crude protein on paper, but it ignores the complex matrix of metabolites found in marine tissues. Like, plant-based ingredients are entirely devoid of taurine, carnitine, and creatine.
Yeah, and in the wild, a salmon absorbs those compounds fully formed. Transitioning to a soy-based diet means those exogenous sources just vanish. The metabolic math changes completely.
Because the physiological requirement for them doesn't just disappear, right?
No, not at all. The burden of acquiring taurine, carnitine, and creatine shifts entirely to endogenous synthesis. The fish has to manufacture these molecules from scratch, which requires an immense amount of biochemical currency.
Specifically methyl groups. Which brings us right to methionine. Obviously, it's the start codon for every newly synthesized peptide chain, but here, its structural role is vastly overshadowed by its role as the precursor to S-adenosylmethionine.
Right. S-adenosylmethionine is the universal methyl donor in the one-carbon metabolism cycle. Synthesizing creatine, for example, requires the methylation of guanidinoacetate. Carnitine synthesis requires the methylation of lysine residues.
So every time the fish's body builds one of these missing plant diet molecules, it consumes a molecule of S-adenosylmethionine.
Exactly, which is directly derived from the dietary pool of methionine. So the demand on that pool just skyrockets. Murat Espy's review points out that adult salmon require approximately 7 grams of methionine, along with 6 grams of cysteine per kilogram of diet, just to maintain a healthy liver.
And juvenile salmon need even more because of their rapid developmental rates. This creates a really fascinating contradiction in how we typically measure feed success. Usually we just look at feed conversion ratios and somatic weight gain.
Yeah, if the fish is putting on muscle mass, we tend to deem the diet sufficient. But the methionine requirement for maintaining metabolic homeostasis, specifically keeping relative liver weight normal, is measurably higher than the requirement for maximum somatic growth.
That is such a critical distinction. So when methionine is scarce, the fish disproportionately shunts it toward muscle protein synthesis.
Exactly. Somatic growth outcompetes hepatic metabolism for the available resources. It's an evolutionary priority to get as big as possible to avoid predation.
So the fish looks completely normal on the outside, hitting all its weight metrics, but internally, it's starving its own liver of the methyl donors required for basic physiological function.
Right. The whole methyl supply chain basically gets hijacked. And when the hepatic demand outstrips the restricted supply, the metabolic logistics network just collapses. The liver is the central hub for lipid metabolism, and exporting those dietary fats relies on very low-density lipoproteins.
Which act like biochemical shipping containers to transport hydrophobic triacylglycerols through the bloodstream.
Yes. And to build the outer membrane of that container, the liver needs a specific phospholipid called phosphatidylcholine.
But to synthesize phosphatidylcholine from its precursor, you need the phosphatidylethanolamine and methyltransferase pathway, which requires 3 sequential methyl donations.
3 methyl groups, all supplied by S-adenosylmethionine. If dietary methionine is inadequate, the pathway halts. The liver can't synthesize phosphatidylcholine, and assembly of those very low-density lipoproteins completely ceases.
But the dietary lipids keep arriving at the liver.
Yeah, the fats have nowhere to go, so they just accumulate within the hepatocytes, manifesting directly as hepatic steatosis or fatty liver disease.
Wow. And it cascades from there into severe oxidative stress. Because methionine also feeds the transsulfuration pathway, converting it to homocysteine, then cystathionine, and ultimately cysteine.
And cysteine is the rate-limiting precursor for glutathione, which is the master endogenous antioxidant. It neutralizes reactive oxygen species produced during normal cellular respiration.
So without enough methionine, cysteine synthesis plummets, glutathione production falls with it, and the antioxidant defense grid powers down.
Right. Reactive oxygen species accumulate unchecked, initiating lipid peroxidation that degrades cell membranes and triggers a massive systemic inflammatory response.
And this ties back to taurine, which is synthesized even further downstream in that exact same transsulfuration pathway. Since soy and plant proteins have zero taurine, the fish relies entirely on internal synthesis.
But if the methionine pool is already drained by protein synthesis and the frantic demand for S-adenosylmethionine, the transsulfuration pathway never actually reaches the taurine synthesis stage. The animal loses its primary antioxidant and its secondary cytoprotectant simultaneously.
It's a massive systemic failure. But the most profound revelation in the review is how this transcends the individual fish. This metabolic stress echoes across generations because S-adenosylmethionine is also the fundamental regulator of the epigenome.
Yes, DNA methylation turns specific genes on or off without altering the underlying sequence. The enzymes responsible for this rely exclusively on S-adenosylmethionine as their methyl donor to attach methyl groups to cytosine residues.
Which physically alters the chromatin structure and silences the targeted gene?
Exactly. The paper highlights a transgenerational study where brood stock were fed a diet deficient in methionine, along with key B vitamins like folate and vitamin B12.
Because those vitamins are obligate cofactors in remethylating homocysteine back into methionine.
Right. Without them, you get a methyl trap that further depletes the S-adenosylmethionine pool. So the parental broodstock spawns, and their offspring are raised on a perfectly formulated, highly nutritious diet.
They have all the methionine, taurine, and marine-derived nutrients they need from day one of feeding.
And despite that perfect environment, the offspring develop a distinct fatty liver-like phenotype. They show dysregulated cholesterol pathways and higher hepatic lipid accumulation.
Because the metabolic software was permanently rewritten during embryonic organogenesis, the embryo lacked the methyl donors required to properly methylate its genome.
The quantitative data is just staggering. The genetic analysis revealed altered methylation patterns across 1,800 distinct locus-specific sites.
1,800 genetic switches were incorrectly set just because the embryonic environment was artificially starved of methyl donors.
Yeah, the developing organism optimized its epigenome for a nutrient-poor reality, downregulating efficient lipid export. So when raised in a nutrient-rich environment, their programming was entirely mismatched.
The epigenetic memory of the parents' deficiency overrode the adequacy of their own diet. That completely changes how we have to look at commercial nutrition.
It really does. Swapping marine proteins for plant proteins is crucial for scalable production, but it accidentally removes those exogenous methyl donors. If we don't supplement those bottlenecks, we're literally baking metabolic dysfunction into the DNA of the next generation.
It's a vital consideration for the future of aquaculture. We've spent this deep dive exploring how leaning on plant proteins places an evolutionary bottleneck on a single amino acid, quietly altering 1,800 genetic switches in Atlantic salmon.
It's a real testament to the incredible precision required in modern feed formulation.
Absolutely. And it leaves you with a really provocative thought to consider. If tweaking a single amino acid in a broodstock diet can permanently rewrite the lipid transport and cholesterol metabolism software of an unborn fish, what other unseen epigenetic shifts might we be inducing across other farm species as we rapidly innovate our global feed formulations? It's definitely something to ponder as we continue to push the boundaries of agricultural science. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the Aquaculture Podcast Show on your favorite platform. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on the latest episodes and industry insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.